This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I wouldn't call it a blowout because I don't know. I think the score is a little wider of a margin than maybe what the game actually felt like.
I'd agree with that.
But 66-50,
well,
Arkansas loses.
It looks worse than it probably actually was, but, I mean, it was still a decisive win for Florida. I mean, what was it, the last 6 minutes Arkansas didn't bother the net? 8 minutes?
Last 8 minutes
Arkansas didn't even
get a field goal.
Even bother the net on the goal at all.
Now,
let's just leave the rim alone.
Scoring's overrated, right? You don't need to score points.
I mean, there's a lot to get into. We've had a little bit, you know, we've had 12, 15 hours to marinate in this a little bit since it was an early game yesterday. So, and there's obviously a lot of questions circulating around the team. Is that the last time we see this team and this version of the Arkansas Razorback basketball team this year? Is that it? I mean, obviously, they're not going to the NCAA tournament. We're talking NIT. Will they get a bid? I don't know. I'm 50-50 on that. And I think there's other things that have to play out. And then you got the whole conversation. I was listening to Ruskin and Zach yesterday, and they were getting a ton of calls about Mike Anderson. And this is also part of the reaction, particularly, and they had the honor of being on the air following the game. I mean, it's always my favorite time to be on the air, immediately following, getting the raw, the raw naked reaction that people really have following a game like that. And you were getting it both barrels, double dose about Mike Anderson yesterday. And, you know, people are not happy. And all of the fans that are on the side of the fence that believe it's time for change. Hey, Mike's a nice guy, but. All of those fans have plenty of ammo this morning,
And
we want to hear from them, too.
Of course, yeah. We want to hear from all of you, 877-377-6963, because, like you said, we've had a long time to let this marinate and trying to figure out exactly where things are at. And it brings up the complicated relationship that Razorback fans have with Mike Anderson, where it feels like that it's like a relationship in a way of sorts, where you had a dream girl. And you were going to do whatever it took to get a date and start dating that dream girl. And you finally got her to accept your date. You go through the dates and things start going off a little rough. But hey, don't worry, it'll get better. And then once it gets a little bit better, then you're like, okay, this is good. But still feel like I'm missing something. And now it's at the point now where in the relationship, you're feeling like, you know, this wasn't what I thought it was.
Mm-mm.
This wasn't going to be as great as I thought it would be. I was hoping, but it just didn't work out. But I still want to be friends.
We still want to be friends.
That's the thing.
Oh,
you have to do it that way. That's how people feel. They want to still be friends. But they can't. They just want to say, let's just make this a nice little shake hands. Let's be cordial to each other when we see each other out at the bars. And just let it be. That's how Razorback fans feel right now, at least by and large, about Mike Anderson. Is that
let's just be friends.
Yeah, let's just be friends. All right, we had a good run. It just didn't work out. That's how Razorback fans are feeling right now. And, you know, it's not like yesterday's game is what was the big straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, this has been going on all season long. I know that they went on a little bit of a winning streak to end the regular season. But let's also be honest, they were playing some pretty bad teams.
Correct.
So you can't give them way too much credit. But it's just when you see a game like that yesterday where they score 50 points and they only had 8 players play in this game, by the way. Know that they had some injuries with like Keyshawn Embry-Simpson and that went into play, but it just seemed like you were playing a very average Florida team. A Florida team that had been hobbling into the SEC tournament.
Florida team that was the 8th seed.
Yeah. I mean, that's looking like an NIT team, but some people are thinking like they're an NCAA team. But a team that you probably should have beaten. And of course Kayvon Allen has to make sure that he goes for big time numbers.
He always goes off when he plays Arkansas.
Yeah, averaged 4.5 points in the past 5 games, but yet goes for 17 against Arkansas. I mean, that's the greatest tradition of all time is Kayvon Allen having a great game against the Arkansas Razorbacks. But that was the thing that was just so frustrating about it, is because you felt like, okay, you guys are saying you're playing well. You say you're playing better. You're saying your defense is playing better. You're saying all these things. But then when you get into the SEC tournament, knowing what you can play for, knowing what's on the line, it's not like you're Vanderbilt where it's just nothing's there. You still can have something. And he kept talking about how you're going to go in Pride, and that's the performance you come up with right here?
This game came down to wasn't necessarily Arkansas shooting or lack of free throws. To me, watching this game with you guys, just if it's noticeable, the lack of rebounding, and it shows up on the stat sheet, the lack of second, third, and fourth efforts Florida got on their offensive end, the extra looks at the basket, the extra possessions, because Arkansas, once again, against a team that's not really statistically a great rebounding team in Florida, Arkansas gets crushed on the glass. And to me, that's where this whole thing broke down yesterday, was Florida, what was the second chance points? 18-6. 18-6, that's a plus 12 advantage in a game you lost by 16 points because Florida continued to get extra shots and extra looks at the basket because Arkansas, once again, decided not to rebound.
19 offensive rebounds for Florida.
Yeah.
19 offensive rebounds. I mean, just do the math on that. Florida went 21 of 55 from the field, all right? So how many missed shots is that? I'm going to try to do this math in my head. I'm going to fail miserably at it, all right? But I'm going to try. 24 missed shots by Florida. 19 of those Florida missed shots, they got the rebound on.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And that's exactly what was the name of the game, is it seemed like Florida.
Yeah, Florida only shot 38%. It's not like,
no.
Well, you just ran into a buzzsaw today.
Yeah, somebody got
they
hot from the field.
52%. No, they just outworked you.
Plain and simple.
How
physical'd you?
Even if you were within five or six on not on the offensive glass, but just total rebound, but that's been the MO all year for this team. And you were telling me, hey, Florida's one of the worst rebounding teams in the league.
And that's what made it even worse.
And that's what makes this even worse, because it's 41-26 Florida's edge on the glass in total yesterday, plus 10 on the offensive glass, 19-9. and they're four. Johnson, he got six offensive rebounds.
How?
Six of his 12.
How? Wow. I mean,
that's the game yesterday.
Yes, it is.
And possibly the season.
Yep. And that's, I even said it after last night. I'm like, you know, I don't know if it's going to be, because if you look at the NIT bracketology, which I know everybody's just going rushing to the message boards and rushing to the internet to try to figure out, but Arkansas has a
finding there is actually a thing called NIT bracketology.
There is a thing, and apparently it's pretty legitimate.
We're not making it up.
Well, Arkansas, as of right now, is projected as a 6 seed in the NIT.
Now, was that updated any time this month?
Yes.
Okay.
It actually was. It was updated yesterday. It was updated. Okay. So
I'm guessing that they don't have a Joe Lenardi. I'm guessing someone is not sitting
every hour on the hour
feverishly updating the NIT bracket.
No. I had to make sure that the date was up to date. And
what
yes,
happened
was.
In that Ohio Valley Conference tournament? I need to know.
Oh, jeez. So there you have it, folks.
But that's where you're at right now.
Your people are looking at it and saying, oh, okay, well, you're a projected 6 seed, which isn't any guarantees, but a projected 6 seed in the NIT, which, by the way, it's 8 seeds. Just to get everybody a heads up on that.
You know, the NIT has changed in the last 10 years, particularly last 5. If you're a regular season conference champion, and this happens more than you think, if you're the 1 seed in the regular season going into your conference tournament, but you get ousted in your conference tournament and you don't get the NCAA tournament bid, you're guaranteed a spot in the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Z say in the post game, and I'm just going to take him as it's right, there's like 12 or 13 of those already. That seems high, but I guess that could be that they won their regular season but didn't get their conference tournament bid. 12 or 13 of those already? That is not good for Arkansas at all.
But do you even want this team to play in the NIT?
Yes, because I would like to see Daniel Gafford play some more. He is still a joy to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you because I think more games will at least be, just interesting to see. And who knows, maybe they can get on some type of run and at least be fun to follow a little bit. But I think for, by and large, Razorback fans, they don't care. I think a lot of them are just kind of over it. They're like, no, just end it. Just end it. Well, don't want a consolation prize. Just end it. Get over it. Move on. They don't want to see it again.
Is that the right way to feel about it? I mean, I don't know. I'm not here to tell people how to feel, but
I don't know what the right way is.
What do you? To me, it seems like I don't know. I see both sides of it.
I do too.
You know, that you're just frustrated, you're tired, and one or two more games is just going to be one or two more of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you play, I mean.
Because right now they're projected to play like Dayton.
This isn't a bubble team that's just going to be on the outside looking in.
No, and the last thing you want to do is since you're playing Dayton, or this is what you're projected to play, say if you did, and you have to play them at Dayton because they have the higher seed, and then you lose by 12 points in the first round of the NIT to Dayton. What's that going to do? You're just going to be like, wow, okay, just instead of just taking the knife out, just go back on the other side and put the knife right back in the same spot. It's like, okay, we're done with this. But that's where you're at right now, Razorback fans. With the basketball program, you are a borderline NIT team as of right now. So,
Brad wants to know, is there any chance we could play Vanderbilt in the NIT? I
don't think they're going to make it.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're going to make it.
As bad as you might think things are here, Brad.
No.
It's worse at Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too, folks. One of the stats that always came out about Mike Anderson is that his teams always finished above where they were projected. They did it again this year. They're projected to finish 10th, and he finished 9th. Congratulations. There's your silver lining. Is that enough? Is that enough for everybody? Is that put everybody in a better mood this morning? Probably not. But we're
Raise an extension!
Yeah.
Raise an extension!
Hey, if Jeff Long was here, he'd be throwing buyouts like they were going out of style around this place. That's for sure.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Continue to talk about the Razorback basketball team, and of course we want your thoughts and opinions. 877-377-6963 on where the Razorback basketball program goes from here. Let's go to the phone lines. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. I almost made it to the first half yesterday.
Almost.
And then I decided it's more important for me to go to Walmart and get some eggs. I just can't hardly watch. I can't hardly watch it. I don't know if y'all have that same problem, but it's so frustrating. And I just couldn't watch it because once we got up 6-8, I said, okay, here it comes. Boom. Gone.
Yeah.
The lead disappeared quickly. It vanished. And I'm really excited about the baseball team. I'm sick of talking about basketball. It looks like Mike's probably won just enough, again, to keep his job and be mediocre, and the football team's trying to get the mediocre. But did you guys happen to see the comment that Dirk Nowitzki made last week?
I did not, no.
Wherein he was talking about the younger players. He said he thought a lot of those were just interested in looking good on Twitter and Instagram and such as that. I think our football team had a little bit of that last year. I think we liked looking good in our uniforms and such as that, but I don't think, you know, they just, when you get past looking good, that's it. They wasn't really bought into it, and I hope Chad's got us going in the right direction. I'm really, really sick of basketball. I'm glad it's over with, and I'm really excited about the baseball team. You guys have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, appreciate it, Danny. So I got to assume by that phone call then that Danny does not feel like they should accept the invitation to the NIT if they are invited, which, again, well, what would you say it was, Ty, that the announcement, if they make the NIT, will be at
7:30
on ESPNU.
ESPNU Sunday night, 7:30.
Wow. Well, okay, so be sure
RFTV. It's on that rural television network that comes out of Branson.
Be sure to set your DVRs.
Local cable access channel.
Being able to check it out
there. For the NIT selection show.
On ESPNU at 7:30 p.m. So,
Fox Sports 5.
the previous segment, we had a caller call in. I believe it's Jason in Hot Springs. And asking about if the players were kind of giving up on Mike Anderson, if there was any of that vibe going on. And, you know, Daniel Gafford was actually asked about Mike Anderson and the people that were very critical of Mike yesterday after the game. And here's what he had to say.
Mike Anderson is one of the best coaches to ever do it there, so I don't really know why people want him gone. I mean, basically, Mike got to be greater than the haters, for all I can say, because, I mean, basically everybody is saying that basically I hate him. So Mike always, I mean, Coach Anderson, he can always silence the haters with what he can do. So that's it on that one.
See, and listen, here's my problem with what Daniel's saying there. There's no in-between. You can't be unhappy with the lack of wins. You're a hater. I don't see that to me. That's what irritates me with everything. And it's not just with Mike Anderson. It's with every political discussion. You're on one extreme or the other. There's no middle ground with anybody anymore. You're not a hater of Mike Anderson if you're dissatisfied with the lack of winning. If you're ready to move on, that doesn't mean you hate Mike Anderson. You're a hater. That means you have better expectations than 17 wins on the year and double-digit losses. That doesn't make you a hater. I think that means you're someone with higher standards than what's being produced.
Well, I mean, you just got to take
and
it
I
as
And I know that's a post-game comment from a, 20-year-old player. But that just seems like it's everything in life right now, doesn't it? Well, no matter what you're talking, no matter the discussion, there's no in between. You're either all the way in and you're biased, or you're a hater.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, players themselves, after a game like this, that's kind of what you expect.
Well,
you
at least he had his coaches back.
But that's the point I was going to make is that, you know, it's not like he came out and said, you know, oh, I don't care, whatever. I don't talk about that. You know, I ignore that or whatever. I mean, he had a pretty strong stance on exactly how he felt about Mike Anderson and about the people that have been coming out against him. So I'm not saying that Daniel Gafford felt the exact same way as the rest of the team, and maybe there are some players that may have been unhappy because, let's be honest, college basketball, just given the trend of things, you have players transferring out all the time. I mean, last year you had Darius Hall transfer out of the basketball program. I think important in how good he could have been this year if he would have stayed. So there's always players that are unhappy with the current situation, and a lot of times has to be unhappiness with the coach. But the thing is that this is where it goes back to this complicated relationship that Razorback fans have with Mike Anderson. I mean, it just because you have so much history with him. You have a history and tradition with him where he chose you. He chose to come back here after he had it really going at Missouri. He had a team that was built for a Final Four run that he left to come and take over a program that was in disarray. I mean, we all know the history of Mike Anderson. We all know what he gave up and how much he means to Arkansas, how much he loves Arkansas. This is his dream job. Everyone understands that. But you're at the point in time now where you start wondering if it's ever going to get better. Because next year, folks, it's not going to be better. I know that people were coming out and saying that, you know, maybe with this guy develops and they're able to add this, it's not going to be better. Even if you have some guys develop, you had an NBA player on your team this past year, and next year you're not going to have an NBA player on your team. There's your difference right there. So is it really going to be any better? No. And then you look at even beyond that. What about the next year? What about the next year when you lose a couple of seniors? What about your recruiting class? How's that looking up? How's the in-state recruiting? Are they looking at you? Because from what I understand, at least in the next couple of years, the high-end, major, talented players coming out of this state aren't really looking at Arkansas right now. Now, things can change. But it's not just about this season. It's about the future. It's about what the program's going to be in the next couple of years. And I feel like every single time that Mike's back was against the wall, you could at least point to something of why he's going to bounce back because of players that were coming in, and you just don't have that right now. You don't have anything that you can point to and say, this is why it's going to get better, because the only thing that you can convince yourself is just by saying, nah, development's going to come into play. They're going to develop some of these guys. Okay, that's fine. Even if they get great development, even if they really take those next steps, you're still not going to be a better team next year. And that's what it comes down to. And the like, can you imagine how not excited people are going to be once the next season comes around and the football team's going on? And you're going into the season, it's like, all right, what do we got? Well, Isaiah Joe's returning. Great. Isaiah Joe's great. And Mason Jones, you know, he's had some games. Okay, cool. But no one else. There's no one else that really excites you about this basketball team right now. And that's the problem that's coming into play with Mike Anderson. It's not about what he's done in the past. I know that that's what people will bring up. But it's about the future, too. And it's about your forecast of what this program is going to look like. And it's just not going to get any better right now.
I think here's one of the other things. And again, we talk about the cumulative effect of eight seasons. Arkansas just perhaps completed their eighth season, but this fact here is not going to change regardless. Out of the 8 years, Mike's had double-digit losses in seven of them. Only one time has he lost less than 10 games. And in order to be a team that's going to be truly worthy of a Sweet 16, not having to pull an upset to get there, get a seed high enough to where you're not having to constantly beat someone. And the year they did that was 14-15. They went 27-9. And that was the year they lost to North Carolina in what's called the third round. You know, it didn't get to the second weekend, but now the third round of the NCAA tournament. That was the best season record-wise. I think that's the frustrating part with a lot of fans is it's another season with more of the same. And it's double-digit losses once again. And I think in order to ever get there, you're going to have to find a way to have teams that are losing. You know, I'm not saying go 29-5 on the year, but you can't be going, obviously, 17-15, is it now?
Mm-hmm.
16, whatever it is.
Yeah, 17-15.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be better next year. Like, what can you point to next year that says this is why the team will be better? Because Gafford's gone. He is gone. What can you point to? There's nothing there. And so you go 17-15 next year, you are looking at a losing record. I mean, you are looking at it dead in the face. And that's the decision that Hunter Yurecek and the administration is going to have to come to, is that they got to figure out, okay, do we cut ties now because look better, or do we just wait it out and see how it goes?
Is it going to get dramatically better? Is it okay, you say, well, he's done it here before. Well, no, it hadn't been done here before under Mike. Not in the last eight seasons.
What are you saying has not been done?
What everyone's trying to achieve, get to the Sweet 16, get the program back to a level where it's consistently in the postseason. It's been, only thing consistent is losing 12 to 15, 18 ball games a year. One year they was 16-16 in that stretch. It's the inconsistencies that's frustrating everybody.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think most fans out there are demanding Final Fours and national championships or you're gone. But be a consistent player, 4 out of 5, quit finishing 9th and 10th in the league. It's just frustrating to people because this program is better than that. But right now it's not. I mean, I was making the case a month or so ago that, hey, it's still historically, not currently, but historically, one of the best 5 basketball programs in the league. Finishes like this doesn't help that argument.
No. Getting bounced out that early in the SEC tournament against a very average Florida team, that's when you have an NBA player on your roster, that's
letting
not ideal.
Allen punk you again?
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in former Razorback pitcher Scott Tabor, who joins us. Talk a little Razorback baseball coming up this weekend. Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Good morning. Didn't sleep a wink last night.
Well, it is.
Had a dream I was starting tonight.
I was about to say,
was it a nightmare or a dream? I mean,
well, it started off good till I hit the mound, then things kind of went to crap. So.
Well, that's the thing, is it's almost like Christmas for a lot of cases. And a former baseball player, it's SEC play starting up this weekend, a home series against Missouri. This is when it really comes down to the nitty gritty. I know you had some solid games here and there in the non-conference, but once SEC plays, it's like it's a whole different season now.
Well, the looking around season, the trying out season, the let's see what happens if we throw this guy season, all that's gone. You know, I think Coach Van Horn has found out what he needs to find out about this team, and the good things that have happened. We talked about it before. You know, the three amigos weren't hitting very well. Well, they've heated up a little bit. You know, so they're up now in the top of the team as far as batting average.
When it comes to pitching, Arkansas is really leaning heavy and you know, going with Isaiah Campbell on Fridays. At times, he looks like he is a real pro prospect and ready to go and got some major league stuff. He's had some inconsistencies. What have you seen the last few outings from Isaiah?
think he's coming around to where you want him to be. I mean, he has established himself as the Friday guy, the guy that you want to put up against their stud, whoever that stud is going to be. And I also read an article that they're going to flip-flop their Friday and Saturday starters so that there isn't going to be that great matchup tonight with Campbell. So I think he's exactly where he wants to be. You know, 3.09 ERA, his strikeout-to-walk ratio is off the charts, 33-3. That's fantastic. So I think he can take control of the game and set the tone for the whole weekend.
Now you mentioned changing around. By the way, Missouri going to start three lefties this weekend is what they have in the notes. And Cantlebury goes tonight, a 2.91 ERA for Missouri. The guy tomorrow, and I hope I'm saying this right, Sakima, 0.46 ERA. So you talk about flipping those guys around. They're going at least statistically with a better guy on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think what their coach is trying to do is trying to keep from getting swept. They need to take at least one out of three. Coming here to play is always tough, and nobody wants to come in and get swept. You don't want to start 0-3 in conference play. It just puts you behind the eight ball immediately. And so he's trying to play the odds a little bit, you know, not giving up on tonight because the guy they're throwing tonight is a very, very good pitcher. Yeah. But playing the odds a little bit to where it doesn't turn into a one Gork hit in the ninth inning or windblown pop fly or just an error somewhere to give up one stupid run and lose the game 1-0 against Campbell. So he's trying to play in the odds and try to pick one up, to pick up an easy one.
Speaking with Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher right now on the Morning Rush. Scott, you mentioned the strikeout-to-walk ratio by Isaiah Campbell. The team itself for Arkansas is doing a really good job with a 4.07 strikeout-to-walk ratio that ranks sixth nationally. How impressed have you been by a stat like that and by the pitching staff? Because that's really been the biggest question going into this season, was just how the pitchers are going to handle it. Seems like they're doing a pretty good job, at least with a stat like that.
Well, that's a question that goes into starts every season. If your pitchers aren't throwing strikes, it makes for a tough season. I think that's something that he drills into them every day, but the pitchers actually have to perform. So they're putting in their work, and they're working hard in the bullpen, doing all their drills, listening to their coach, and they obviously have talent. You know, if you go to the University of Arkansas as a pitcher, you're going to have great velocity, and you're going to have some stuff in the tank. So they're all starting to live up to expectations. And the young guys, I think that's the biggest surprise, the freshman arms that have come in, they've shown that they've got what they were brought here to do, and they've got some good stuff.
Yeah, I know we're talking Missouri this weekend, but before we get to visit again, this team's going to travel to Texas and take on the Longhorns. I know that's special to you. It was always the big weekend, the big series when you played and for so many years in the Southwest Conference. I know a lot of people, and you in particular, Scott, it will bring back some memories next week when Arkansas takes on Texas again, and they did this last year. Now they return the trip down to Austin.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic series. I wish I could take off work and go down there. That'd be a blast just to go back to Austin. It does bring up a lot of old memories. In fact, them flip-flopping their Friday and Saturday starters. When Clements was there, instead of having Gustafson, instead of having Clements and Ike face off and possibly have a one-run messed-up loss, he flip-flopped and threw his number three starter against me. So they needed to win two out of three, and they did. But it was... I felt like it was quite a compliment. I always tell Clements, I said, you dodged me. You know, I can't believe that you would do that.
He was afraid of you.
He was scared. Yeah. The boy was scared. He had nothing to fear. but it is. I would love to see it. And I tell you, just the way the team is shaping up, gosh, I don't know if you could have a better scenario going into conference play. Your pitches are all throwing well. You don't have anybody that you are just guessing. I think Nolan will be the biggest question mark right now in my mind on the starting rotation. But you're so strong through the bullpen. You have so many guys that are coming out. And I'm still a big believer in Cole Ramage. He's my guy. You know, he's 3-0 in 12 innings. Only has 12 innings pitched, but he pitches at the right time. But he comes in and he does his job. I mean, he's just kind of the silent assassin. He hadn't given up an earned run yet this year. And I think that's going to be a key role for him as the season goes on.
Now, Scott, you mentioned about how Missouri this weekend is flip-flopping their Friday, Saturday pitchers. It feels like there's this happens in baseball on some occasions, because you just mentioned it back when you played as well. What's the advantage there for, like, Missouri coming in this weekend? Is it just trying to see how it goes the first game and making sure you have your ace for the second game? Just what's the mindset and the mentality of that type of move for Missouri this weekend?
Well, a little bit of that on the coach's end of it. Like I said, he is trying, I believe, I don't know the guy, but it looks like he's trying to make sure he doesn't get swept. He's trying to set his team up for the best chance of at least taking one out of here, which is not always easy to do. As a pitcher going in, you know, the pitchers, everybody goes, well, it's this guy, this pitcher against this pitcher. Well, like in my day, it wasn't me against Clemens. It was me against the Texas hitters. It didn't matter who was throwing on the other side. I still had to go out and pitch against their hitters. And if our pitchers go in with that mindset, there won't be any problem, because the other guy, you know, you like to go in and say you're going to throw a shutout every time you go out, and that's the mindset that you have to have. I think he's just trying to make sure he tries to put himself in a position to pick up at least one win this weekend.
And this is one of the rare.
It's going to work.
Dave was talking earlier this week. There was in one of the baseball polls, and there's multiple polls, but there was like a record 10 SEC teams ranked in the top 25. This is really one of the rare weekends you're going to get an unranked team in conference play coming A, up on your schedule, but B, to your stadium. And Missouri right now on the game notes not ranked, and Arkansas ranked 10th. So this is also a rarity when playing in SEC play, is to get a team that's not in the top 25.
Yeah, but don't sleep on Missouri.
No, I mean they're trying to get in the top 25.
Four or five guys. Yeah. They've got four or five guys that are hitting over 340. You know, and they got some pitchers that are their ERAs two and under. You know, everybody's under three, it seems like. So they've got good quality arms, they've got good quality sticks, and they're always tough. It just seems like they always play us tough. The fact they're coming in here, though, and it's an open weekend, you know, I think that's what he's making the shuffle of the pitching rotation for. I think that's about the only reason I could see that. It would have been fantastic to see your two best guys going at it under the lights on Friday night. I think he just wants to avoid that. But it should be a great weekend. I think it'll be great for the fans. I think tomorrow's a 2 o'clock start, and the weather's supposed to be a little bit warmer, which will be great. And should have a huge turnout.
Scott, just from what you've been able to watch this season, which player has really stood out to you? Which guy has really been the guy that you're like, wow, I'm really impressed by the way he's playing right now?
You mean for the pitchers or for the regular players?
Just give me both.
All above?
Yeah.
God, there's really a lot. I love Christian Franklin. I love the energy he brings, and the fact that he brings not only has he turned out to be a great stick. I think he's hit 356 or so, but he's a fantastic in the field, and that's what they really wanted to play him, or his early playing time was coming from his fielding abilities and his speed. He's got some fantastic speed, but he's showing he can really handle the stick. I think Christian Franklin, and you always see new guys. New guys always intrigue you. You know, Kerstadt, you love to watch him hit, but and Martin the same way, but we saw that all last year, so we expect that. But Christian Franklin, I'm really high on him as a player. And then there's a whole list of pitchers that I think have just done a fantastic job.
Scott, before I let you get out of here, though, I do have to ask you this. That last weekend when Arkansas was playing, I believe it was Louisiana Tech, they had an almost bench-clearing brawl. Now, it didn't get really escalated. You just had some words being had when you had a situation there. I just wanted to ask if you, Scott Taver, has ever been involved in any sort of altercation on the baseball diamond to where it almost came to blows at Arkansas.
Well, not at Arkansas. No. I take that back. Yeah, my last game against Texas, their catcher, who was an automatic double play ball for me, came up, and there's a guy on first and second, and he leaned out over the plate and stuck his elbow out. It was a strike. Stuck his elbow out, hit him on the elbow, and the umpire gave him first base. I lost my mind. I had never lost my mind. I ran to the umpire, and Coach Brian got between me and the umpire, and he's screaming, and I'm screaming, and the catcher's screaming, and it got kind of ugly, and then it came back out, and I was so mad that the next pitch I hit their guy. I said, you want to get hit by a pitch? Well, I hit their first baseman right in the neck with a fastball. Yeah, things
with the bases loaded. So.
With the bases loaded. Yeah, I kind of lost my mind on that one.
Wow.
It happens.
Yeah.
He was a friend of mine. I played against him for 3 years, and we just kind of got to know each other. And he's running down to first looking at me, jogging down to first looking at me like, what was that for? Can't take him back.
Thank you for the
run.
Can't
take him back.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know, because I always am curious about how those things escalate. But I'm glad to know that you were involved, especially because it was Texas, too.
In college, it doesn't happen as much as it does in pro ball.
Right.
You know, and in college, and I think the other day really, really did get out of hand. You should be allowed to come up and in a little bit, but they're so strict on the whole rules. Now, up and in versus throwing at somebody's head are two different things. I think the umpire kind of set that whole thing in motion. He thought he was a hockey ref or something.
I mean, it was the fourth hit batter. Arkansas had hit three other batters prior to that, and then you just had a pretty good offensive play before that, and then You had a home run. He had a home run in the previous at bat, and then you hit a guy in the head on the next pitch. It didn't look.
You know, the guy's a freshman. He just got away from it.
It slipped. As Ricky Vaughn said, it slipped.
It slipped. It just slipped.
Simple as that. Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher. Always appreciate you joining us, Scott. Great stuff, man. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you with you on Friday.
You guys have a good weekend.
You as well.
Go Hogs.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.